Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business on the Edge Extended with Margaret Jackson. The show is brought to you by Business on the Edge, your small business problem solver. We are servicing small businesses with business coaching and consulting services, a variety of small business solution packages, business and professional training, webinars, workshops, and seminars. To learn more about our products and services, call 408-357-0951. That's 408-357-0951 for a free consultation. You can also email me at onthe edge@businessontheedge.biz. That is a 30-minute free consultation. Always want to thank our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate your listenership around the world. Also, for those that are the archive listeners, we appreciate you listening and checking out what we're saying on Business on the Edge Extended. And I also, just so you listeners know, I do a radio show, AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. It is our Money 2.0 show. So if you ever want to tune in live on Friday nights, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., you can tune in online at www.kdow.biz. That's www.kdow.biz, prime time, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. live. Today's topic, challenges women face in business. Now, the fact is women still face challenges in business and in the workplace. Although we're seeing some fantastic strides in the workplace and as women business owners, the Workplace Bullying Institute reported back in August 2012, and this is some of their findings, or they asked a specific question to women in the workplace, and this is what the respondents were asked. What is your experience with mistreatment at work? We define mistreatment as repeated incidents against an individual, employee, by a person, or a group that take the form of verbal abuse, behaviors that are humiliating, threatening, intimidating, or sabotage of the targeted person's work. And the findings were, believe it or not, using the definition, of course, above, 58% said they were currently being bullied. 39% have been bullied, but not currently, and 3% had only witnessed it. To illustrate the special nature of the sample, and this is the 2010 Workplace Bullying Institute, although it was published in 2012, national survey, 9% of adult Americans were currently bullied. 26% had been bullied, and 15% were witnesses only. And by the way, if you're a witness to bullying, just so you know, you're just as guilty as the bully. So take a stand and don't watch people being bullied in the workplace or otherwise. I really, you know, that's a little pet peeve of mine. You know, stand up for somebody and say it's not okay. So most perpetrators, according to the survey, were women. 63% compared to 62% men in the national sample. Women bullies, interesting, torment women in 89% of the cases. Now, we talk about men, and we are expecting a guest caller today, but women bullies torment women in 89% of the cases. That's pretty interesting. We have been really targeting men, but women are just as bad and even worse as culprits. Men bullies chose women in 63% of the cases. Women were 79% of all targets. And that's not a good thing. We want to see that stop. I not only want to see the percentage go down, I want to see it stop. And so what are some of the other challenges that women face in the workplace outside of bullying or as business owners? And one of the areas is investing. You know, when you start a business, it's harder for a woman to get investment funding than it is for men. And I'm going to quote one of our favorite cookie entrepreneurs, and this is what she said. I would tell them about my plan, the cookies, my dream, and sure enough, they would listen and eat the cookies. They would respond by saying, thank you so much. Thank you for coming in. But no, we're not interested. And this is Debbie Fields. And we know we love Mrs. Fields' cookies. And so I want to encourage women that there are some things that we can do. And in terms of some of the challenges that we face, you know, we can get better, we can get better. And the goal really is just to become better and keep moving forward. Here's some exciting news. And you know, you've heard me talk about Women Lead Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders. And this is a new book, and it was just published January 2013. And here's the exciting thing. And this is in the introduction of the book, Navigating a Changing Workforce in the Women's Century. So will the 21st century be the century of the woman? I am woman. Remember that. I am woman. Consider these statistics. And this should really, really get you excited, because I'm excited about it. And I believe that. And I know that I'm part of the statistics that we're seeing here. Women make up half the U.S. workforce and hold 51.4% of all managerial and professional jobs and almost half of all banking and insurance jobs. 51.4%. A woman starts a business every 60 seconds. Can you believe that? I didn't even know that. I mean, as a business coach, I had no idea. A woman starts a business every 60 seconds. 41% of women in dual earner households earn as much or more than their husbands or partners. Interesting, interesting fact. I like hearing some of these things. Actually, truth be told, I like hearing it all. And here's the thing. We all want an opportunity to be successful. Anyone who's breathing should want to do something or have the aspiration. I believe everyone has aspiration to do something great. Now, whether or not people do that or circumstances and in just different situations, obviously, that doesn't happen. But for women, I like the fact that we are on the move and we are leading and we can make some different choices. And later in the show, I am going to share some advice that is given by some of the top CEOs, Fortune 500 CEOs in the country. And just so you know, there's only 18 women CEOs currently in Fortune 500 companies. So we're still kind of out of balance with that, but we're coming along. So we have 57% of college students are now female. This is 2013. This is not a 2011 or 2012. I try to find the most current information for my shows. But 57% of college students are now female. Women outpace men in earning master's and doctoral degrees and comprise 49% of medical students and 48% of law school graduates. How about that? Not bad, not too shabby, ladies. Companies with more women in leadership positions see higher profits, stock price growth. We certainly see that in California. 30% of women in leadership women in leadership are the return on investments in California, we're seeing that 30% change, which is awesome in terms of companies' profitability. Let me go back to this. Companies with more women in leadership positions see higher profits, stock price growth, return to shareholders, and returns on equity, sales, and invested capital than companies with few women executives. Now, for those guys that are listening and executives and whatever your station is, you can't ignore the facts. The facts are the facts are the facts. But just, I'm going to backtrack here. I'm going to digress here for a second. Women, what is on your brain when you are bullying other women? What is that? You know, we used to, years ago, you know, cat fights. You can't have cat fights at work. But really, you want to bully other women we're trying to make these strides. So I'm not sure, 89%, that is, we need to check ourselves as women leaders and make sure that we're treating one another and people in general with the respect and dignity that they deserve and need. You know, these are people that are part of your team. And so if there's some sort of, I'm one of those people, I like getting things out on the table. Now, if you don't want to talk to me or engage me, then I'm okay with you just, you know, forget it. Because you can't make people engage you. But what I do is I'm always open to sitting down and talking and dealing with the situation and scenario. And sometimes you can't control it. So, you know, in terms of having those conversations, and if you're one that's being bullied, you have some options in terms of, one, try to go and talk to your boss. Try to go talk to the person that, you know, I think that would be the first step, and find out what's going on and see if there can be a resolve. If not, then I would certainly escalate it and consider that. And that's just my 2 cents. I am not one to sit around and allow someone to just bully me without being able to have a voice and try to change those dynamics. And I've seen some interesting things over the years as I have moved through my own career. But anyway, studies show, still this is Women Lead, studies show that female business leaders outperform men on a wide variety of leadership traits, including adaptability, innovation, people skills, and strategic drive. Now that's, you know, I'm surprised they didn't put multitasking in there, because we're pretty darn good at that as well. 89% of Americans are comfortable with women as leaders, compared to 77% back in 2012. So that's a big deal. That's a big change. So we're excited about that. So even though there's still challenges, we're facing those in the workplace. Now, I can say, being a business owner, you eliminate a lot of garbage as being a business owner. But when you're working with your clientele, most of my clientele are men. And so being in situations, if I'm, for example, producing on some production, it can be interesting dealing with some of the clientele. But, you know, you find smart ways to dismantle awkward situations if you find that you're having difficulties with men, and if you're having difficulty with women. And women can really, women can be funky. That's just, there is no more intelligent word to describe it, but they can be absolutely ridiculously funky. And you have to decide how you're going to deal with that. And what I would recommend is rise above anything that would try to diminish you as a woman and in your profession and anything that you do. Rise above those situations and scenarios. Sometimes as women, we can be firm. I like to think, my son says this, I have a 19-year-old son, and he says, you know, my mom's firm, but she's fair. And I like to think that, you know, I try to be that in every situation. I'm firm, but I'm fair when I'm working, and I'm trying to help my team move towards the goals that we're supposed to achieve. So I'm just saying, the percentage of women ages 25 to 34 with a bachelor's degree has more than tripled since 1986, while the share of men in that cohort with a bachelor's degree has grown by only half. Wow. So in 2008, women in dual-earner couples contributed 45% of the annual family income, 39% more than they did in 1997. Good stuff. This is a great book to pick up if you want to just expand on what women are doing. This is fantastic. Between 1997 and 2011, the number of women-owned business increased by 50%. 50%. And again, earlier I said, women are starting businesses every 60 seconds. So that's incredible. We are making our move and making our mark. So that's fantastic. So this is 1.5 times the growth rate of businesses as a whole. So that's exciting. If U.S. women-owned businesses were the only where their own country. Now, this is, I just love this. This is, are you sitting down? If you're not, sit down. If U.S. women-owned businesses were their own country, it would have the fifth largest GDP in the world, ahead of France, the United Kingdom, and Italy. And that's just in the introduction for Women Lead, not to mention what you're going to get out of this, how many pages, this is a more than 200-page book. So Women Lead, Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders by Tracy Weiland, the GMT. The research was done by the Apollo Research Institute, where she's also Vice President and Managing Director. You can get this book on Amazon. But that is like fantastic, fantastic information for us to know about what women are doing in the workplace. And so we do have our caller online. So I'm going to bring in our guest here, and we're going to talk to our guest, Dwayne Carl Harris. How are you tonight? Hello?
Oh, no, this is not Mr. Harris. This is not Mr. Harris.
Who am I speaking with? We have a caller.
Yes, this is your caller for with 678. This is Mr. Whitaker out of Atlanta, but not Mr. Harris.
Okay, so Mr. Whitaker, what can we do for you? What's your question?
You know, I wanted to. I see you are, especially with the fair comment. I wanted to engage you with something to see if I can learn from a lady in your position and your exposure in the woman-dominated field of business. Something that has really been shocking to me, and you kind of keyed in on it with the term funky. I did not realize. I now work in a female-dominated industry of medical, but I did not realize that for me, as a dark-skinned black male, that the treatment is almost worse than being around a bunch of white guys. And it's very odd for me, especially being a lover of black people and black women. I did not realize that there was all this extra going on in the female-dominated workplace.
Right.
And I made a point to someone, and I want to kind of get your thought on it. It's not to demean nobody. It's just really to learn. I made a point to somebody. I said, you know what? It's kind of like, you guys sit down for minimum of 12, 16 bucks an hour while there's some guy working at a warehouse for $8 dreaming a 10. You guys hire each other with no skills. You guys do all this stuff. And then I'll see brothers come in and I'll hear people say, well, we not hiring no men, or we not hiring no men for this position. And then I, as a guy, I'm like, hold on, man, that's not even close to being fair. Y'all are listening to yourselves? So I find this all strange for me, like I said, being a pro-black person. And, again, it's not to demean. I just have a hard time understanding why qualified males, especially black males, are so stereotyped by women. While a lady who works at a cashier at McDonald's or some check cashing place gets pulled in and gets taught how to do stuff that she really should have some type of background on. I'm just amazed.
Right, right. You know, that's a very good question. And, you know, there's never any shortage of discrimination on the planet. Let's just put this in perspective. There's In this country, let's deal with, and this is the stuff I like to talk about. And can you give me your name again? I apologize.
Whitaker.
Whitaker. And so, Mr. Whitaker, here's the deal. We have to deal with the fact that in this country, in the United States, we still deal with the black factor. And we deal with it in different ways. Black women experience different resistances in getting a job, and black males experience difficulties in situations in getting a job. I'll give you an example. On the Fortune 500 list of CEOs, there's 18 women. Out of that 18 women, we have only one female black woman, Ursula Burns. And so the dynamic becomes there is still a comfortability in our country that, and again, not to demean anyone, but just to bring an awareness to where we're at, is that there's still this out of balance and that people, one, are comfortable with what they're comfortable with, likeness. Men can be comfortable as a group, right? You know, with likeness. And so we tend to lean in those different directions. You know, one of the things that I tell people, I says, you know, I don't pull a race card. And that's not what I'm saying you're doing. I don't have a race card. If I'm accused of pulling a race card, believe me, you pulled yours first. And I'm just bringing awareness to what you're saying to me rather than it's something being the other way around. And we need to really, and with regards to the stereotype with black men have been very much stereotyped. And we see that coming across through our television, through internet, and what the populace thinks about black men is, you know, you're drug dealers, gangbangers, abusive, all of these things, you know, unintelligent, which we know that is not the real picture of what black men can bring to the table, which is value in the workplace. And so we need to talk about these things, and we need to help people understand that everyone has a right to live and fulfill the legacy that is in their life. And why should anyone stand in the be some sort of roadblock that would keep that from happening? It's not fair, and that's what we call that roadblock is discrimination. So if we remove that, let me ask you a question. If everyone just in Atlanta, and I love Atlanta because Atlanta's got a lot going on, but if every person, every color, every gender maximized and was allowed to maximize who they are and what they can produce, how awesome would Atlanta be?
Yeah, Atlanta would be great, and several other cities would be great. I know you only got 7 minutes, so let me redefine my question. But to answer yours, yes, Atlanta would be great, and several people would be great, which is a good segue into redefining this question. I used to be a person coming out of California, all about what you're saying. Hey, let's maximize, you know, because in California, I'm from the Bay Area, most people, it's like, hey, what can we do to get stuff done? If there's a problem, let's unify against the system. Now, having worked around this particular gender for some odd years, I'm of the thought process now, many a times I'd rather see a white person before I see a black female. And it's sad that I say that, but this is why I asked the question. I used to say, okay, let's fight for equality in pay and equality all around the board. But now I say, you know what, look, let's fight for equality on the top CEO, vice president level, and let's also make equality of genders on the lower level, because I don't feel like it's fair for ladies or certain types of gentlemen to not make equal pay. And at the same time, I don't feel it's fair going down that every business, it seems like, is dominated by one gender, irregardless of their skill set. So that's the crust of my question, is that I'd like to understand when we talk about, on a national scale, let's make things across the board fair for the CEO level, the CFO level, and then I wish they'd pass a bill to trickle it all down, so that way we'd have 15 women, 15 men. You know, that way nobody can sit up here and say they're doing more, they're doing less, because my personal fear as a male, seeing how stereotypical, now mind you, I've been told in an interview we're not hiring men for this position. So when you got that type of one-sided thought process, which I'm quite sure women have gone through for some time.
Oh, absolutely.
Trying to have an equality conversation moving forward, it wouldn't be equal in my eyes unless it's from top to bottom. So my question is your feeling about from top to bottom.
And again, I have to go back to people are comfortable with who they know. I'll give you an example. On my Friday show on AM 1220 KOW, I interviewed the CEO of Opportunity Finance Network. And one of the questions that I asked him, and if you don't know who Opportunity Finance Network is, they are partnered with Starbucks on this Create Jobs for USA. And it was interesting because of his bio was different than what he was doing now as CEO of Opportunity Finance Network that supports businesses in underprivileged communities to hire new people. And this is what he said, and this is what I see across the board in the norm. I knew a friend who knew someone at the C-level who was CEO. And so you're going to see, and I don't think we're ever going to get rid of it, is that we do, I'm a business owner. And Mr. Whitaker, I have to be honest, I hire sometimes because I know someone who recommended someone who came to an interview for me to bring in. So I think there's a dynamic that is part of it, and I don't think it's just race and gender. I think it's familiarity. And when you get into familiarity and says, you know what, this guy or this gal or woman is kind of like me, and I think this is a good fit for the culture, which means that it does exclude, and I'm not saying that race and gender doesn't play a part. It absolutely does. But I think we have to bring in something else that's causing what we're seeing, especially in the C-level position, especially because that's a lot about, if you talk to enough of C-level executives, you're finding out that someone knew someone and they recommended someone and they liked this person better than that person, and they got it not because of who you were, because they knew someone and they already had someone in mind for the position. So I think that there's some other dynamics going on.
Yeah, that part I can understand, but, you know, it's all very weird to me. But
and
thank you so much.
And it's not. Thank you for calling in. I want to say one more thing to you. But it's not to exclude that you being a black male has not played a part in opportunities that you did not get. I absolutely believe that.
Sure.
That has played a factor.
I will leave you with this because your time is short. I will leave you with this. I have several certifications. More so than many people probably work. And I'm not arrogant in interviews. I'm very humble. Even if I don't get it, so what, you know. I try to dress immaculate, but I've come to figure out people who look smart many of times, especially black males, tend to not get those things because there's an intimidation factor, which is natural across the board with a lot of hiring people. And secondly, it's very odd to me when, let's say I don't get it or I don't get a second interview, the job is reposted. So,
right.
And then lastly,
right.
Here in Atlanta, if you research our EEOC in Atlanta, the guy told me about a couple of months ago, 52% of all the claims of discrimination are by black males here in Atlanta.
Right.
That's
surprising because Atlanta is known around the country for those of us that are black, more affluent with blacks getting into and having better opportunities in terms of corporate leadership and corporate opportunities. But I am going to have to get off the line for you. We're going to pick this up next week because it's a very interesting topic, and I want to definitely get into some of the things that I didn't get to hit this week. Mr. Whitaker, thank you for calling, and I appreciate
it. Thank you, ma'am.
And so, again, like I said, discrimination and opportunities not to get a job or difficulties in the workplace are happening for all kinds of reasons. And we're going to pick this up again next week, next Sunday at 5 p.m. to continue this conversation and bring our guest in, Dwayne Carl, who is an author out of My Second Closet, I Have AIDS, Get Over It, and he's going to share some of his challenges and being someone that has hired women into the workplace and his views on working with women. We're going to see that next week. I want to appreciate you for calling in and tuning in. Also, if you want to listen to my show live, AM 1220 KDOW Business with Edge with Margaret Jackson, live prime time here in the Bay Area, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also, you can follow us on Facebook, Business on Edge, And I think that's about it. Thank you again for tuning in. Isn't that exciting? That is my alarm going off. Thank you again. Tune in next week. Have a great Sunday.